You are Locked On Angels, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, your 2018 Angels. Welcome to Locked On Angels.
Keep it locked.
Locked on.
We're locked on, sir.
Locked On Angels.
What up, Angels fans? My name is Lucas Sardo, your new co-host of Locked On Angels, and you can call me the Socia Cynic or the Pessimistic Patrick, but I as well am a first-row rider of the emotional roller coaster that is Angels baseball, and I'd like to welcome you to your daily Angels update here on Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network and FanRag Sports. And I'm coming to you right after a Royals-Angels game that left me with a lot of opinions, a lot to talk about. But first, I wanted to introduce myself before I start ragging on the team and whatever. I was born and raised in Anaheim, hearing about stories of Nolan Ryan, Fred Lynn, Rod Carew, to name a few. From my dad, who is actually a regular listener of the podcast and might be surprised to hear my voice in his car right now, but he did a great job raising me in the Angels baseball family. I came across Patrick in high school. We played together at Oxford Academy, and I'd like to say we were probably the most fearsome 3-4 combo in Oxford Academy history going down there. After high school, I went up to Northern California to California State University East Bay to play baseball. Things didn't work out there. Got my marketing degree, came back down to beautiful Anaheim, California. And now I'm here helping Pat out with this podcast. Coming up today, we got a Royals recap. And that's going to be kind of a Debbie Downer recap, honestly. Number two, we're going to go down on the farm as Pat usually does on Tuesdays, which I'll be taking over. And then the last one, we're going to go to Boston for a little Red Sox preview. But let's start with the game that we just had here on Monday. A recap of the Jackie Robinson game, or I'm sorry, a replay of the Jackie Robinson game that got frozen out, if that's a thing, when we were in Kansas City the first time. But I think the big story of the day here, as always recently with this team, the offense was just non-existent. Three hits, a total of six base runners, and four of those six base runners were named Mike Trout or Albert Pujols. Both had one hit and one walk. Simmons had another hit in this game, and David Fletcher, who was pinch hitting for Calhoun in the eighth, got hit by a pitch. They were 0-for-3 with runners in scoring position. Shocker there. But they just couldn't figure out Brad Keller, which is a sentence that I was really not hoping to ever say in my life. And I feel like the only way you can follow up that sentence is with the phrase, yikes. Just the offense has been so bad this year, and it's no surprise. Well, we've seen it all season long, with the exception of Trout, Upton at times. Pujols, I feel like, is even kind of overperforming what I would expect from him. He's hitting about 250, and he's got his fair share of home runs. Kinsler has stretches where all he does is hit home runs, but he's still hitting 212. But after that, Simmons, who went out for a while, that really kind of hurt the offense. Obviously, Otani's out, and it's no secret that there's a lot of injuries on the front, but it's just so mind-boggling how bad this offense is at times, and it just goes so anemic, and there's got to be a way to turn it around. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, though, I am a Socia Cynic. I am a wholehearted believer that this guy, at times, is running this team into the ground, and sure enough, he delivered me with my first example that I can share with you guys today. If you were watching the game, you saw David Fletcher get hit by a pitch. We had a failed hit and run with Maldonado. Luckily, Salvador Perez, little high throw. Fletcher gets to second. Maldi hits a ground ball to third that gets Fletcher to third. And Chris Young comes up to the plate with one out and a guy on third base. We're down by one run. Chris Young is hitting below 200 this season. And if you weren't watching the game, his first two at-bats today were a ground ball to first base that by no means was a ground ball that is going to be like, wow, he hit that ball hard. It never left the infield grass. And his second at-bat, he popped out in foul territory. So now, I'm going to walk you through Chris Young's at-bat with a guy on third and one out. Two-seam fastball that he swings over that was also inside and out of the strike zone. A foul ball on one of the worst swings he's had this season, and he's had a lot of them. So 0-2, another foul ball on a swing that was very kind of protective of the situation. Your fourth pitch, fastball in the outside corner, swings and misses, and he strikes out. So now I want to circle back to Socha here. He's hitting below 200, hasn't hit a ball out of the infield all day, and we need to score this run. But we're going to let him swing. Let's not mix in a safety squeeze or any kind of bunt that might, I don't know, score this run. Fletcher with pretty decent speed at third, let's not forget. The infield was, the middle was kind of half, the corners were in. But a well-placed bunt here, I'd say even an average-placed bunt here, gets the job done. Why not once does he square around a bunt? That's what blows my mind. And for a guy that built his coaching resume on small ball and manufacturing runs, it's something that in the last couple years, I feel like he's really gone away from it. Now, the team hit and runs a lot, which is great. And I understand that sabermetrically, bunting is not really the right thing to do. Giving away outs is just not something that analytically you should be doing. But in that situation, in baseball, when you're down a run in a game that, we're not going to call it a must-win game by any means, but a game that, you know, we're in still. Skaggs has pitched an amazing game, and we're not going to bunt. We're going to let Chris Young swing here. And he strikes out. Next at bat, next batter, Kinsler, grounds out to shortstop. That's the thing that just really grinds my gears about Mike Socha, is in that situation, are we really going to trust that guy to get a base hit or hit a deep fly ball or do anything productive? I can't say that I trust him, and I'm willing to think that a lot of people wouldn't trust him in that situation, especially other coaches in the league. It just really, really just grinds my gears. And we'll get into Chris Young later when we go down on the farm, because honestly, that guy cannot stay up with the big club anymore. Like I said, he's hitting below 200, and I can't remember a time where he's had a productive at-bat. And there's other guys in the system that I think just are deserving of a shot over him. When Trout gets better, I think he's just got to go down. But let's go back to Skaggs. Threw very well. Was honestly the highlight of the game for me, for the Angels at least. Gives up one earned run and gets a loss, which is just awful. We can't give up less than three runs and lose games. That's just atrocious. His ERA now drops to 2.69, and in the month of June, he's only given up two earned runs in 27 innings this month. That's pretty nuts. Obviously, he had the hamstring issue, but didn't seem like any problems. Gave up a lot of hits today. I think he gave up seven hits, but a lot of them were like with two outs or nobody on. So nothing really kind of was too bad. Kind of got hit around a little bit, but his one run he gave up was, you know, two base hits back to back, and it was a very productive outing for him. I think if we're putting him on a grade scale, I'd say it's an A effort out of him. But the offense can't get it done, which is just really sad that we're losing games. 2-0 was the final, but we can't get a run with the offense that we have, and where is it going to come from is my question. Is, you know, Trout is having an amazing season. Upton's producing well enough, I would say. As I said before, Pujols doing well, but it's just, where's the spark? Where's the the balls of the team, I guess you could say. The game today was just so lackluster with any kind of fight or energy. And that's one thing that I'm just really, really frustrated with after watching this game. But, you know, we will be moving on to Boston and see how those things go. Up next, we're going to go down on the farm. But first, if you guys have any sponsorship opportunities you want to reach out to, feel free to reach out at the Locked On Angels at gmail.com. Again, LockedOnAngels at gmail.com. Let us know. We'd love to help you out there.
We're Angels, not Cowboys.
Here's your Down on the Farm report.
So now we're going to go down on the farm, but before we finish off today, we're also going to look at that Boston series. But as we were talking about earlier, Chris Young, big kind of hole right now in the lineup. With Ohtani out, we kind of need somebody to be that last hitter and all the injuries. So I'm looking at three guys today, offensively. I think, you know, previously we've looked at a lot of relief people, a lot of arms, because our bullpen, that's another thing that kind of needs help. But three guys I've got kind of starred that are outfielders that could potentially take this place. Now, obviously, we've seen Jabari Blash up with the team. He's one of my guys. And it's wild to me. He's tearing it up with the Bees. He's hitting .331 with 19 home runs. I would love to see him get a little bit more of opportunity, but obviously he hasn't really done anything to jump off the page necessarily. It is nice that Calhoun is starting to kind of turn it around. I made the statement the other day that Cole Calhoun is back, and I didn't have a great game against the Royals, but I think he's really turned it around. He's changed up that batting stance, dropped his hands a little bit, and that was one thing that I personally saw was he's kind of just like, but before he was really cranking his hands back and his load had his barrel around his head. It just looked awful. But now he's kind of dropped the hands. The load looks a little bit more smooth and he's barreling balls up, which is what we need out of Cole Calhoun. Besides the fact, Jabari Blash, I think, could be a guy that we could see filling in that Chris Young spot, give him a little bit more time up with the big club, see how those things go. Another guy, though, we have not seen up with the team yet this year, Raimer Liriano. Now, not as great of stats as Jabari Blash. He's hitting .269, 14 home runs, fourth on the team in RBIs with 38, and he's their four hitter down there. Wouldn't mind seeing him up. He's a younger guy. I believe he's like 21, 22 years old. I don't believe he's made his MLB debut yet, but, you know, give him a shot. We're not needing a guy that's an everyday player, but just something that could at least give us a spark. That's all I want out of this person. And the third person, a person that if you've been following the team for a couple years, you'll recognize the name, Eric Young Jr. A fan favorite when Trout was hurt last year. A guy that just plays with such grit and determination. A guy that, like, I would kind of compare to, like, a David Eckstein kind of player. And I love watching those guys. People that are willing to do anything to win the game. He's logged the most games played so far with the Bees from any position player. He's got a .298 batting average down there, 9 stolen bases that leads the team, and his on-base percentage is over .300. I would love to see Eric Young Jr. come back up with the team. EYJ was a guy that last year, when we were down in the dumps, Trout had just got hurt, had that hand injury. He came up, we weren't expecting anything from him, and there was some kind of energy within the clubhouse. He was just doing everything that was needed out of him to win ball games. And over that stretch, if you remember, I believe the team played over .500 without our best player. I could seriously see EYJ coming back up and providing that spark that this team needs. Because right now, it's just dead. There's no energy, like, there's no, like, rah-rah stuff. It's just kind of down and like, yeah, let's get to the next inning. Like, let's get something going. And I think a guy like EYJ could really come up and do some damage. And I could potentially see when Trout is healthy enough to play center field, we designate Chris Young for assignment, potentially bring up EYJ. But the bullpen obviously needs help, and I could also see them bringing up another arm. We do have Hermosillo still up with the club, so they could give him some more at-bats. I would love to see EYJ in this situation to see if he'd be able to excel. I don't know. We're lacking life right now. And I think that's what I'm looking for personally, is a heartbeat for the team. So coming up next, we're going to Boston. All right. So tough loss in Kansas City. And it's not getting any easier for us, quite frankly. Going to Boston. Luckily, they're not as hot as the first time we saw them in Anaheim. But the matchups we get are no cakewalk. Tuesday, we get our third installment of the John Lamb saga. If you want to call it a saga, I guess. I'm going to call it a saga. And he gets to go against good old David Price. And if you don't remember, the last time we saw David Price on the mound against our Halos, it was a very forgettable game. He went up against Shohei Ohtani, and we lost 10-1 at the Big A. Mookie Betts had 3 home runs, and that was the first blister problem with Shohei. He left after 2 innings, and just not good. Then Wednesday, it's Heaney going on the mound against Rick Porcello. Porcello, 9-3 record, been kind of tearing it up for that team. And Thursday, we have something to look forward to. Thursday, maybe, just kind of trying to find a little sunshine here. We got Jaime Barea going on. Barea? I don't know. Whatever. However you say his name. He's going on the mound against Steven Wright. And here's my little sunshine. Steven Wright in his last game against Seattle gave up 10 runs in 3 1/3. Maybe we could get a win out of there. I mean, realistically speaking, probably 1-3. 1-4-3. 1-2 in this trip to Boston. But it's a series that is gonna really be key if we want to turn this season around. If we can steal one against David Price, which would be tough, that would be awesome. Porcello, but we got Heaney on the mound, right? He's our ace at this point in the season, I would imagine. Him and Skaggs, 1A, 1B. We got to start winning those games, though, that Heaney and Skaggs pitch. Those are the people that are giving us quality starts, game in and game out. We have to be winning those games. And Boston, not as hot as they once were. 7 of their last 10 have been against Seattle, and they won 4 of 7 against them. And the other 3 were against Minnesota, and in Minnesota, they were 1-2. So, not the red-hot team that we once saw in Anaheim. However, they do have that crazy, amazing offense who is tied for the league lead in team batting average and also is 2nd in the league in runs scored. So I guess that's not going to be the easiest thing to do necessarily, but we have hope, right? And Pat would say we have hope, so in my first episode, I'll have hope too. But I kind of expect a 1-2 road trip in Boston. And then going to Baltimore, you know, we could deal with that a different time. But, you know, it all starts with this road trip. If we want to turn things around. We got to get the bats going in that little Cracker Jack box that they call Fenway Park. You know, hit a couple balls out, get some guys with some confidence going. I think Calhoun's going in with a lot of confidence. You know, pepper that pesky pole over there. I could see us turning around. And I feel like, traditionally, we've gone into Boston in times where our season was really in jeopardy. And the bats get hot. The pitching picks up. It happened last year. And it was right when Trout went down. We had a road trip that I think was like Boston, New York, and Baltimore. And they came out over 500 with life. same thing I could see here. Go to Boston, take 2 of 3, go to a really bad Orioles team, go to Baltimore and, you know, take a couple more games, and then another huge, huge, huge series against Seattle. We'll see. I guess I'll have hope. But coming up tomorrow, Pat's back on the mic, and I'm sure he'll have takes on this Royals game and the opener in Boston, as well as the classic Wild Wild Wednesday segment. But other than that, I am Lucas Sardo. You can hit me up on Twitter, at LucasSardo13, the number 13, at LucasSardo, the number 1, the number 3. And let me know how my first show went. Tell me where I went wrong, but more importantly, tell me where I'm right, but also where I'm wrong, because I would like to improve. But most importantly, make sure to follow our Twitter page, at LockedOnAngels, for all updates regarding the show and our website, LockedOnAngels.com, which is a part of FanRag Sports. If you have any questions, comments, anything, shoot us an email at LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, guys. I had fun talking to you today. Adios.